Hello and welcome to Talk About Jazz with Doug Hall. I'm your host, Doug Hall, and our guest today is Seth Abramson. He is both a jazz musician, a Grammy Award-winning producer, concert promoter, and of recent, the director of the Gilmore International Piano Festival. The festival, which runs from April 30th to May 10th, takes place in the Kalamazoo, Michigan area, which showcases the world's preeminent classical and jazz pianists and artists in 75 plus events. So welcome, Seth. We're very glad to have you here with us today and look forward to a conversation about this amazing jazz festival. And also have some thoughts about jazz festivals in general and an opportunity to listen to the featured pianist, the acclaimed jazz pianist, Sullivan Fortner. Or Fortner?
Fortner, yeah.
Fortner, there we go.
Sure.
So welcome.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for having
me. And well, we're glad to have you. And again, there's so many jazz festivals occurring around the United States and the world for that moment, that this particularly is a wonderful specialization in the area of keyboard artists and jazz, mm-hmm. and all that can come together in that whole musical concept. Later in the podcast, we will listen to a portion of two songs by the acclaimed jazz pianist Sullivan Fortner, who has just won the Gilmore's 2026 Larry J. Bell Jazz Artist Award and has won the Grammy for Best Jazz Instrumental Album. The title of the album is Southern Nights. He will also be performing at the Gilmore International Piano Festival. But right now, I'd like to direct our main conversation to the background, origins, and Seth's directorship of this amazing piano jazz festival. So I'll just open it up to you, Seth, and just curious, sure. for our audience's knowledge, how did the festival come into being and what has been its evolution?
The Gilmore was originally founded in 1989. And it was founded initially as a showcase for the piano education, piano music, due to the philanthropy of Irving S. Gilmore, who was a very well-known philanthropist who passed away and was based in Kalamazoo and had a love for piano and concert music. And the idea initially was to launch what would be a prestigious classical piano award, actually, in the States, in the U.S., because there are so many obviously highly regarded piano awards for classical music outside the U.S. And the idea was to have one in the U.S. and then also a festival that would showcase piano as well. So it initially launched in 1989 with this idea. And then, not too long after that time, also started including jazz somewhat in the mix of mm-hmm. at least in terms of the festival. And at that time, the festival also important distinction is that it was biannual festivals in that it was every other year. It was not an annual festival at that time. So fast forward many years after, establishing it now. Okay. The festival itself has become a highly regarded festival on the landscape in the classical world, and between the classical world and the festival and the amazing, the best orchestras and classical pianists that we present. Mm-hmm. But it also, prior to my joining the organization in September of 22, had been programming jazz artists as well over the years at the festival. Again, it was biannual. Now, as of this year, we'll mark the last festival we had was in 2024. So, but now as of this festival and going forward, it is now a new festival model, and that will be an annual festival. So the
Okay,
next one will be
very
in
good.
literally in 2027 as opposed to 2028. And then also, I was brought on board and came and joined the Gilmore because they decided and wanted to really also shine a spotlight on jazz and create the equivalent of the Gilmore Artist Award for classical piano in the jazz world and have a similar award for jazz. And this one, thanks to a generous, very generous gift of past board of trustee president Larry Bell, we're able to the similar program for jazz, in this case, the Larry J. Bell Jazz Award. Which is, and those awards for both the Gilmore Artist Award and the Larry J. Bell Artist Jazz Artist Award are every 4 years. Those are given out, and it's done all behind the scenes, like a MacArthur or a Guggenheim, in that the artists don't know they're under consideration. It's not a competition where it's a performance, in person performance with semi-finalists, finalists, and then
Yeah, like a playoff.
ultimate winner. Yeah, it's not. It's this is all done behind the scenes, and is a very extensive and thorough investigation over years, if you will, in seeing the artist perform live, in narrowing down the search, and ultimately selecting the recipient. And in this case, our inaugural recipient was Sullivan Fortner, the pianist that you mentioned, and in tradition with the festival, with the Gilmore Artist Award, and now the Bell Artist Award, Sullivan is going to open and close this 2026 edition of the festival, being the award recipient.
Well, it's certainly thank you for that kind of background and more specifics as to the evolution of the festival. And it certainly seems to me that the award carries so much more weight. I mean, in a sense, as we know that awards are handed out regularly throughout different jazz events and different jazz organizations, et cetera, that this is very weighty. So obviously it's very it certainly would be very, very meaningful to the jazz artist that receives it.
Yes.
And well, before we have a chance to listen to a snippet of two of the compositions from the jazz pianist who we've just spoken of, Sullivan Fortner, who has won this award, I was just amazed at the number of events, 75 plus, and I had kind of written some notes just at different the different localities they represent, historic concert halls, intimate clubs, family offerings, and community spaces across Southwest Michigan. So my question is, in your hands, how do you manage all the activity logistically, and you still keep to, I noticed the wording in one of the press releases is as a unifying force. How do you balance the two together?
Sure. Well, our executive and artistic director, Pierre van der Vesthuizen, curates all the classical concerts, and has been doing so since he came on board in 2018, and has vast knowledge, has doctorate in classical piano performance, and knows, is a scholar basically in terms of that area of the music, but also is knowledgeable, very knowledgeable about jazz too. And since I've come on board as director of jazz, I am now working with Pierre and handling the jazz programming of the festival, and then other series that we do, because we have a Rising Stars piano series that we also do during the year, and with of both a couple of jazz concerts and classical concerts of Rising Stars annually too. So with the festival, you know, I work closely with Pierre, and I program the jazz artists, and he handles all the classical programming. Kalamazoo's an incredible and supportive arts community, and we have incredible partnerships with a lot of different venues, such as Western Michigan University, Kalamazoo College, and many others that we work with, and venues in presenting the festival now. And they're beautiful, really, really incredible. I've been fortunate enough to have been to venues through my work that's taken me over the years, you know, all over the globe, so to speak. And I have to say, it's really the Chenery, for example, which is another partner of ours, that auditorium and theater is just one of the most exquisite auditoriums and theaters acoustically been to. And we've presented Herbie Hancock to Maria Schneider to Yuzha Wang, Brad Meldow's in trio with Christian McBride and Marcus Gilmore there, and many others. And yeah, so we have basically, we're lucky that we have everything from, like, you know, 100 seat venue all the way up to 2,500 seat venue, all in the city of Kalamazoo, which is unusual. But the thing that's unique is that so much, like, per capita of the population is supportive of this and comes out to support it, relative to some, you know, some other places. And they're really into the music and into checking out and discovering new artists. And in particular, they really love and take ownership of the artists that are selected, that receive the awards. They take great pride in championing these artists and then following their careers after. And it's really special in that way, and beautiful to witness. You know, if they haven't been to Kalamazoo and haven't had the opportunity to experience this festival, I highly encourage people to check it out.
It seems like an enormous undertaking, and certainly the reflection of the community support suggests that it's very successful as well in keeping kind of a unity, and it's challenging, no doubt. Let's move on to the listening portion of the interview. Again, we're going to listen to snippets of two compositions by the Larry J. Bell Jazz Artist Award winner, Sullivan Fortner, who is already an acclaimed jazz pianist on his own reputation. And the first cut is going to be the title cut of his album, Southern Nights. So let's listen to a portion of that composition. Thank you. Wow, what a wonderful upbeat flavor to his piano composition. I don't want to pigeonhole any artist, but I'm trying to think in terms of is that taking me back to a New Orleans and a bit of a romp?
Definitely New Orleans. Good
Yeah.
call. Because Sullivan's from New Orleans. He grew up in New Orleans,
Right.
and definitely that whole experience of his upbringing in New Orleans infuses his musical identity and his identity period in a most beautiful way. And then that song, Southern Nights, it was written by great singer, songwriter, pianist, legendary Alan Toussaint, who's from New Orleans too. So it's sort of a acknowledgement of another New Orleans music master.
Well, we're going to segue to listen to another selection by Fortner entitled I Love You, which is a bit of a departure from what we've just listened to. Boy, I love that piece as well. It takes off in this bebop abstraction as he plays these rampant single notes, and then it just segues completely into this wonderful sort of flowing ballad, almost like a waltz that just takes off. I love that sound and the transition. It's lovely.
That's a Cole Porter
I should
composition. I
know.
love it. Yeah, for that and that he does his own take on, of course. And also
Wonderful.
great trio there. They had that was recorded live at the Village Vanguard
All right, sure.
too. I'm pretty sure. Yes. As you mentioned, this album just received the Grammy for Best Instrumental Jazz Record, which is huge for Sullivan, and we're thrilled for him and receiving that honor as well.
One last question. This kind of comes to mind, and I'm guessing you've probably been asked this before as a director of jazz festivals. I've tried to go somewhat religiously, and although I don't want to use that word, out of commitment to the Newport Jazz Festival every summer, because I live in I live in Boston, and I had the good fortune actually interviewing George Wein, the founder and director, before he died. And it was an amazing afternoon. And I asked him a number of questions. This is along the lines of what I asked him. I said, as you visit, and in this case, it's directed at you, as you visit jazz festivals as a director, as an interested listener, and experience the expanded format of hybrid music and music, quote unquote, outside of the standard format, is there a definition or boundary for jazz at a jazz festival? Just your thoughts.
The answer is yes. I mean, there are things that fit that are jazz, and there are things that you could say aren't jazz that everyone could find agreement on, I believe. There are artists that kind of operate in multiple worlds. So I think it's not a new and for George, I can imagine what George, although I didn't hear the specific answer George gave, but I know George well, and I know, George was always inclusive in his festivals, jazz festivals that he did all over the world, and he is responsible for the very first jazz festival and the creation of jazz festivals. So tip our hat and give our pay our respects to George for sure. So there's so many different facets to it, and I think ultimately it's a living, breathing art form that is inclusive. And is about, it's all about what the next generation of artists bring to it and bring to the table, and how they choose to evolve the music. It comes from the blues and the and 12-bar blues form originally, and spirituals and stuff, and evolve from there too. So it's always been about a some kind of cross-pollinization and adapting to with over time and in different ways. I don't know.
Never a fair question, actually, for me to ask
Right.
on a short 30-minute episode of our podcast, but I just ha I don't I wanted to get your feedback, and thank you
Yeah.
for a very good answer. I mean, for me, as an audience listener, every time I go to the Newport Jazz Festival, and I recognize that the success of the festival depends on these different components. It depends on legends. It depends on well-known contemporary jazz musicians. And
Yeah.
my thrill is that it allows for the unknown musician to be up there on one of those main stages and to have 45 minutes,
Yeah.
which Gene used to say. He says, "I give you 45 minutes. Make that the best performance you can give in that
Yeah.
moment."
I always thought it was important. It's not just to present the legends. So can sell out multiple nights, what have you, but to create space in the programming in a regular way to give opportunities to deserving artists that are coming up. And that's something George was really about too. Like he was, he really got that. And it's not about George, obviously, but I will just always sing his praises because, like, man, he was in his 90s. He was still coming to, he was coming to jazz, out going out to the clubs in New York and coming to shows and staying on top of what was going on. He was coming to Jazz Standard and seeing, and if I call and said, George, I think you'd really enjoy coming to hear this artist. If you're, I haven't heard of him yet or whatever, then he'd come and he'd want, and he'd be like, we got to get him at Newport, or her at Newport. Then,
I mean, I'm so lucky I just have that moment of time with him, and he's the inspiration for a lot of what you're talking about in so many ways. We had a great conversation, and I
thank you so
appreciate
much.
being so open and sharing a variety of different thoughts and ranges. Obviously, we're focusing this interview on you and the Gilmour International Piano Festival, and for our audience, that is April 30th to May 10th. In the Kalamazoo, Michigan area. And please take a look at the lineup and the venue and everything that Seth has shared with us. So, hey, you've brought me on board. And so
Great.
hopefully the listeners,
Yeah.
I'm excited for you and wishing you positive karma moving forward with
Thank
your
you.
next festival. So thank you so much for your
Likewise.
we appreciate you being a guest here on our podcast.
Well,
Your
thank you. Yeah, I appreciate your shining a light on what we do and the music itself too.